Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:15, and today is June 4th, and it's a Thursday. Well, Christine Lagarde really stole the show in here today in terms of her very overt advice to the Fed in that they should be waiting until the beginning of next year, or even a little bit longer than that, to raise interest rates. Well, the Fed is a proud institution, and deservedly so. They're not going to be particularly happy with that kind of very overt advice. So the talking heads have been doing nothing but chat about it all day, but that's not really important. The Fed is going to make its decision based upon data. The problem is that the data is open to interpretation. When, for example, you look at wage growth is one of the things that the Fed would definitely be looking at. There is a high correlation between wage earnings growth and the Fed funds rate. But there's also this measure that was posted in the Wall Street Journal today showing that wage growth had already broken out of this 5-year range. So, again, this is something that's open to interpretation. Well, inflationary measures are a movable feast. But when you look at the Fed's PCE deflator, then it's been trending down, and in fact it's been largely range-bound for about a decade, but coming to the lower side of that range. Well, when you start adding these things up, then it's really within the realm of possibility that the Fed will just be looking at other things, that their own data is not compelling. Well, then, what about the dollar? The dollar was a bit firmer in here today, and particularly the euro was interesting. The euro got up to 113 and a bit today, I think 113.80, and has pulled back and was trading in negative territory. We're still in this rangy environment. There's been a nice little bounce here from the region of 107, 108, and the question now is to what extent we're going to see some consolidation. This is still a mean reversionary rally for the euro, and the progression of higher reaction lows since March are still intact, and that you have this now, the 107, 108 region is around where that progression is lying. So there is the potential that we're going to get some additional ranging in here. The Fed will also be cognizant of what's happening in the bond markets and in the equity markets, and they're not going to want to rock the boat. One of their primary objectives in quantitative easing was to inflate asset prices. They're going to want to have some kind of surety that asset prices will hold their gains if they start raising interest rates. So they're going to be incredibly cautious. What we've seen is that bond yields have surged in here this week, and they were a little bit softer in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And when you start to look at bond funds, well, I think it's perhaps more relevant than ever to really zero in on the fact that bond funds are not valued on a yield to maturity basis. They never hold bonds to maturity. They have to manage their duration. That means that they're constantly rolling bonds. As they approach maturity or go beyond their duration move or their target for duration, then they have to sell, and they're buying bonds with a longer duration. So that means that if you're not holding to maturity, what you're betting on is price appreciation. And that's been an incredibly beneficial strategy over the last 30 years because bond prices have been going up. And bond funds are generally leveraged to that. Well, there is this, there's an additional component to the debate in that bond market liquidity has deteriorated, not least because investment banks don't have the same trading books that they would have had in 2006-2007. Whereas bond fund assets under management have ballooned over the same period of time. Well, they're withholding all of that supply. Now, this is something that we talk about at length at the chart seminar, that in the latter stages of a bull market, that that people have been buying over the course of the bull market, that the buy and hold strategy works, and it becomes practically a religious fervor for those who have been buying, but that as we get to the upper end of the range in terms of the amount of supply that is being withheld from the market, that all turns into potential supply later on. So just because we have an environment right now where the bond markets are reasonably illiquid, it doesn't mean that they're going to be illiquid for long or forever, but that all of that money that's being pent up within bond funds could come back onto the market, that those bonds could come back onto the market in the event of redemptions. So this is a potential issue. Bond funds, generally speaking, have pulled back. And we've seen a number that have held progressions of high reaction lows for much of the last year, breaking those lows in here this week, and I'll be posting a number of those charts. Well, this is a loss of uptrend consistency, and there's the potential that we get some ranging in here, but that you've had the progression of lower of higher reaction lows broken. You've seen the region of the 200-day moving average penetrated, and then there is a potential that you're going to see also that you're going to get a little bit of consolidation, but that it really does need to get back above the 200-day MA. Well, that would require a fairly considerable move in terms of the yield, and it's open to question just yet whether we're going to get it. When you look at treasuries, that they rallied, the yields rallied, so prices pulled back, you had the consolidation in the region of the MA, and then yields broke out once more. Well, we have a little bit of a short-term overbought condition on the yield, oversold condition in the price, so there's the potential for some steadying, but that the medium-term progression of lower rally highs in terms of the yield has been broken. That's the big thing. That's by far the most relevant consideration, and then it's only really a question of how long it takes for the rally back up towards the long-term progression of lower rally highs, which in the case of US Treasuries is around 4%. So this means that the chances of the summer of 2015 becoming a very choppy environment for bond funds is probably the base case at this particular juncture. When we look at equity markets, well, we've had a loss of momentum on Wall Street for the last 6 months, and we're now pulling back to test the progression of higher reaction lows. The Dow was down about 1% today, the NASDAQ and the S&P down a bit less than that. Where we start to then look in terms of the consistency, that this is a loss of momentum, and there's a wedging characteristic evident over the last 6 months. The progression of higher reaction lows is around 2060, and the moving average is around 2040. Well, if you start to see the moving average breaking, you see it even starting to turn lower, well then we're into a much more volatile process of consolidation of what has been an incredibly powerful breakout over the last 18 months. When we go across the pond and look at Europe, the majority of markets in here were weaker in, for the most part. What we are seeing is that this is still a process of mean reversion. We're right back in testing the lows for a number of these markets in here today. And the euro has already rallied. Well, the strength of the rally in these European markets has been largely tied to the fact that the euro has been weakening. If we see the euro getting weaker, then we can anticipate that a number of those European markets will successfully find support in the region of their 200-day moving averages, but that it is now for the bulls to prove, and that you do need to see upward dynamics from these regions where they are right now. This was an interesting day also in China. The A-shares finished in mildly positive territory, but unwound a pretty stiff decline intraday. Then, just to give you an example, the Shanghai A-shares today, the low of the day was at 4,865, and it closed at 5,180. So, just about a 300-point range on the day to finish in positive territory. This is still consolidating. And, well, it's wild and woolly that you're getting these incredibly large moves, both up and down. And where we can say that this trend is still consistent is that there's a progression of higher reaction lows, that each time it pulls back, the low is above the most recent. And provided that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. This is an incredibly steep advance. So at some point, it is going to roll over into a process of mean reversion. And because it is so incredibly overextended, well, that mean reversion could be potentially lengthy. But it would be, I think, a miscalculation to say that this is a bubble. When you look at, for example, the Shenzhen A shares or B shares, well, they broke out to new all-time highs in January and have doubled since then. That's potentially where you have the makings of a bubble, which would be in the small caps or in the private sector, whereas the A shares are much less overvalued, and they're really only breaking out in the last month out of an incredibly depressed level. So this really does have the makings for a substantial bull market, and it's not even rolled over just yet. We have had deterioration in terms of the trends for a number of Asian markets, and I talked about those in yesterday's audio, but certainly India needs to find support in the 8,000 region. There's been a rounding characteristic evident in Thailand and in Indonesia and Malaysia. So this is an environment where it really is for the bulls to prove that things are getting better there. Japan was in mildly positive territory in here today, and not least because the yen remains weak. And with the dollar steadying, well, then we're seeing that the Nikkei has been able to hold the vast majority of its gain. Australia is also worthy of mention in here. The ASX was additionally weak in here today. It's breaking below the 5600 level. Well, 5600 was around the region of the moving average, and it's falling through that. Well, this hasn't been a particularly consistent advance, but that was a potential area of support, and it really didn't find it there at all. And a clear countermanding upward dynamic is now required to question potential for additional downside in here. And the Aussie dollar was weaker in here today as well by an additional cent, so that there is no real evidence yet that this is anything more than some short-term steadying within the context of what remains a medium-term downtrend for the Australian dollar. And certainly it's in Australia's interests to have a weaker currency in here. In the commodity markets, oil prices were down by approximately a dollar, perhaps a little bit more than that. And, well, we've had a progression of higher reaction lows for the oil complex since it bottomed. And, well, provided that remains the case, this is still a mean reversionary rally. But that it's looking increasingly likely we're going to have a test of that progression of higher reaction lows, and it might indeed break. Also, copper is interesting in that it had rallied all the way up to $3 and has pulled back, and it's now testing the short-term progression of higher reaction lows. It was down almost 4 cents in here today. It's currently trading around 268. The progression of higher reaction lows is around 264. So we're not that far away from it. In that kind of triangular pattern, you're likely to have an emphatic breakout in one direction or another, and the lower side is going to get tested. In the precious metals, gold was down about $9. It's trading around 1175. It's still reasonably steady within its range, but that it's looking increasingly likely we're going to see a test of the lower side of that range. Whereas platinum is trading almost exactly at $1,100, and that is the lower side of its range. And really, it needs more than a $10 rally. It probably needs a bit more than that even to really indicate that demand is returning in this area. I posted an article 2 days ago about the evolution of electric cars and how that represents a threat to the primary demand source for platinum in terms of catalytic converters. Well, it's a potential threat, and that's probably not the thing that is driving the price in the short term. but it's certainly in need of some form of catalyst that the commodity complex generally, particularly the industrial commodity complex and in energy, is weak in here at the moment. Whereas the agriculturals like corn and wheat were both up over 1%. Actually, wheat was up 2.5% in here today. They would appear to be at least garnering some support in this current region. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.